Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. See you, do you? I want to see you.
And how do you want to see him?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Remember, holy, 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 you're casting your crown before him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Glad to have, we know there got to be some visitors with us, but not you, Megan, so we'll, okay, she's been here before. But we're glad to have our visitors with us, and we always say welcome. You come after one time, you're one of us, so you're just a part of us, so just have a good time in the Lord. But amen, good to see you. We thank God for this day, because 41 years ago today, we started the church here, July the 4th, 1971. And the Lord's been blessing us and bringing us to a lot of things. And we thank God for all of the people that have given their lives and their things that we could have this freedom until this hour and where we're at, you know. And we just appreciate that. Appreciate Sister Gail for fixing all of the flowers and the decorations, or what you call them, downstairs. And we really appreciate that. Amen. Remember the Bible study this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock. General questions, so that means just open for everything. Ministers meeting will be here on the second Saturday for ministers only, if you want to come out and be with us. And then the fellowship meeting will be the third Saturday of this month, which will be at Brother Tom Corshane's. If you want to go with us, let us know. We'll be leaving about 10 o'clock and going up. So remember that. Amen. You like turning your scriptures, turn in Revelations 1 where we've been reading. And then we will go to, it's Revelation 1, 1 through 3. Then we will go to 1 Peter 1, verse 9 through 13. Amen. Our precious Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, our all in all, and Jesus is your name. Thank you for your loving grace unto us, Father. Thank you for you and the hour that we're living, and thank you for the word that you've revealed unto us, and the time that you've given us, and the guidance you've been with us to take care of us, Lord, and in all the things that we're doing in life, and just being with us. We thank you. We pray that you would just bless us now with your presence tonight and speak to our hearts, that we may, Lord, convey your message to your people, because we look forward to you. We love you and we thank you, and guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And let's go over now to 1 Peter 1, starting at verse 9. Receiving the end of your salvation, even if it's the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching are what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, this statement, revelation of Jesus Christ, appears three times in the Bible. It's in Galatians 1, verse 12. By the revelation of Jesus Christ, we read here in verse Peter, it says, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then in Revelations 1:1, we read, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, that's what we've been talking about. It's not an idea or thought. It's a revelation. And it must be revealed unto each one of our hearts and our lives. All right? Now, we took a lot of reading Sunday in the trying to read a lot Sunday afternoon of chapter 5, not reading the scripture part, but reading the things Brother Branham was saying about chapter 5. And then we come to the point, and we'll read it again in a minute, where Brother Branham said this is a scene. It's not a verse by verse. All right? So then we'll get down to it in a minute to see why it comes out to be that way. But we tried to cover it, and we read a lot. Now, tonight we only have like four quotes, so what I want to do is basically just speak about it and, you know, and maybe help us to understand what we're talking about. Now, we've been in Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now, we're not going to be dealing with the part where that it's written within and on the backside of the book, etc. We'll take that up, the Lord willing, Sunday. All we want to talk about tonight is one thing of what we went through. And go ahead and pull up number one on the notes, brother, and let's get these out of the way. And then we can just speak on these things. This is taken from Revelation chapter 5, part 2, 1961, 618. Paragraphs 79 and 80. Now we find then that this first beginning of the chapter, we find the fifth chapter is just a tie block. It's a diamond hitch. In other words, something that pulls together, fastens. You can use the word breech. Breech would be the same form, but you've got to have something to come across and tie together in a breech, but it is the same wording to where that you can understand it and see what's going on. Tie hits, that diamond hitch that ties the last part of the church age of the third chapter. Why? Because the rapture comes at the end of the third chapter. Revelation 4:1, we go up in the rapture. All right. The fourth chapter tells what John was taken up into heaven. And the fifth is preparing for these. All right. Well, we went through the seven church ages. Then John's lifted up in the fourth chapter. In the fifth chapter, he's just setting a scene here for the opening of the seven seals. Now, the word scene means a place where some action or event occurs. All right? An action or event, or it's, all right? It means any view or like a picture. All right? It's actually the it's actually a single episode of a play is what a scene is, because you got many scenes put together and it makes a movie, right? You don't say the whole movie is a scene. You have a scene and then it breaks, and you have a scene, especially where you're dealing with like I was bringing out Sunday, where you're dealing with like a stage act. You open the stage and there's the actors, you know, in place, and that's a scene. Well, then that you act that part out. They close the curtains, and you open up, and then another scene comes into view. But I like this one, and you'll see when we get to it in a minute. A scene is an incident or situation in real life. So remember that. It's an incident or a situation in real life. Okay? So now we'll hold to that point, but look what he's saying, see? All right? He's just setting a scene here for the opening of the seven seals, just as he did in the first chapter of Revelation. Now what? Opening the way for the church ages. Now what happened there? There he stands in the seven golden candlesticks, Revelation 1:13, see? And he's to look upon his jasper and sardis stone, and he's preparing for those, the seven golden candles. He looks upon his jasper and sardis, and he's preparing for the seven church ages. All right? Now he's preparing for the opening of those seven seals of redemption. See, that's what the fifth chapter is. That's the reason I kind of read it and just take it from there and talk on it and give the other parts of the scriptures, is because it isn't verse by verse something that's happening. It's preparing for something to happen. Now watch it. And if you get the preparation, then you're ready for it then. And that's the way it is by faith or anything else. So anything we get needs a preparation, right? A thing to be able to help us to understand. All right? Now, and see, then we gave you where you don't have to pull up the number two, but we gave you where Brother Brown talks about in the seal book, in the breach, where he says this Revelation chapter 5 is the most sublime scripture in the Bible. All right? Because it's explaining something. But watch now. It's preparing for the opening. Now, what does that mean to you? The prophet said it's preparing for the opening. What would that mean? Right. Now, he said, as we read there, that in chapter 1, Jesus standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and you're actually pulling that over in Revelation 4 to pick up the sardis stone and all like that. It's tying two scriptures together, but he's using Revelation 1. We're standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks like unto the Son of Man. That's a foundation, he said, or a preparation to be able to understand the church ages. All right? Now, so then the fifth chapter is a preparation to understand the opening of the seals. And like we were talking about Sunday, and you know, you're preparing an event. You're getting ready for some kind of event, a wedding or whatever, or some kind of a doing, the shower, or something that your sisters do. It takes a lot of preparation. I mean, it's not just, well, we'll see you. Well, when are you going to see me? Well, I don't know. Well, we're going to have a wedding. Well, when are you going to have it? Don't know. We'll call you when everybody's ready. Now, what kind of an event would that be? Huh? That would be just a haphazard thought. And that's what we do in our minds of the Bible and the prophet's message, is we just haphazardly think about something, you know. We say, well, why is it so important for us to understand Revelations 4 and 5 and all? Just get over in those. And we really don't even need them sealed. We just believe the prophet's message. Well, I thought the prophet's message begun in the seals. I thought that's what he said. But you see, that's the way we do things. We do it just, you know, nonchalant. Now, you don't do a wedding that way, do you? So you set a date. You prepare everything. You get everything ready. And the closer you get, more you're just working like everything to get it to a place to where that you can have this wedding. All right? Now, all of that is the preparation. That's not the wedding. So now you understand what he's saying here. Revelation chapter 5 is a preparing. Now, there is a quote in here. He said this is actually opening the seals, but I'm holding that for a long time, all right? Be another message or two. But think about it. What is a preparing? Now, I took quite a while in dealing with the fourth chapter of the book of Revelations. And inside of that, I kept giving you quotes. And I'd say, write this down, because it will be needful later. Some of you did. A lot of you probably didn't, because you didn't consider it to be important enough. But I was actually preaching the sermon there within those things and trying to enlighten our eyes to where that we could look at it. But a scene. Preparing for the opening. Now, we look in Revelations 5:1, as we read, and we see one sitting on the throne. All right? We see a book in his hand. As I said, we won't be dealing with that. But that's identically the same thing that you see over in chapter 4. There. That on verse 2, it says there's a throne in heaven and one sitting on the throne. All right. Now, to me, I don't believe you can understand chapter 5 until you fully understand chapter 4. And that was the reason for preaching 13 or so many sermons, 14 or something, 15 on the, you know, chapter 4. Because chapter 4 is a verse-by-verse description. Then when you get into chapter 5, it's a scene. See, chapter 4 describes what's taking place. Chapter 5, it just opens up. And when it opens up, there you are. A throne. And one sitting on the throne. All right? Now, see, by doing that, as I said, I spent much time trying to get us to understand and to see what that throne was. We said, well, it's just a throne sitting up there. Well, that's all right. But that's up in heaven. We found out from chapter 4 that this throne was the Father's throne, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost that come on the day of Pentecost in the new birth, right? All right. Starting in the heart of man, with the Father's throne in our hearts, and one day we will go to that throne and sit with Him, but if we don't have it right here, we're not going there. Right? If we don't match on earth what is there, we're not going there. So where are we in? We're in the preparation. We're in the point of getting ready to be able to see it. All right? Now, let me ask you a question, a couple of messages down the road, so I would jot this down. Will your revelation produce a lamb for you? Simple question. Will your revelation produce a lamb for you? No, I don't need to produce it, Brother Dale. God produced it. That's good. But this is something personal. That's what I want you to see about the fifth chapter. It is something personal that's taking place right now. Huh? Because if we're not in the preparation, then it'll never come forth in the right order. All right? Now, you'll see why we've been around here 40 years, see? In the time of preparation. Instead of just saying, well, boy, bless God, we got it. The prophet said it. That's the way people are, right? That prophet, them seals broke to the prophet. Amen. We got it. Were. Still worse than any organized religion group of people. Right? Still messed up, and the people won't even talk to each other, fellowship or anything. But now think about it. In Revelation chapter 4, we started off talking about a throne in heaven. But we said that throne, as I said a moment ago, had to be in our hearts by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or there wouldn't be a throne in heaven for us to go to. So do you realize what I'm saying? The baptism of the Holy Ghost in your heart is making way for that throne in heaven. It's not that throne in heaven making a way for us on earth. We're making a way here on earth to that to be prepared, that we can go there. If we don't see it, we can't understand it if it's not prepared for us. All right? Now, then we read 1 Peter, and he's talking about at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Not just the book of Revelation. We'll read this in a second. The entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brother Brown said, if you read anywhere in the Bible and you don't see Christ, he said, go back and read it again because you missed it. All right? You say, well, there was a lot in the Bible about the things that happened, this, that, and the other. Yeah, and you see Christ in there. We'll deal more Sunday about these things and try to get into a foundation. All right? But if we don't understand chapter 4 and seeing the preparation and what has been taking place, then chapter 5 means nothing to us. It's just a double scene of what you saw in chapter 4. But now, as I told you when I was doing that series, then you'll see it. It opens up. All right? You see a throne. Then you see one on the throne. Then you seen the 24 elders. Then you seen the rainbow. You seen the different things. All right? Now, chapter 5 is not a verse by verse. The prophet's not going to take it verse by verse, but he is taking it verse by verse. He's explaining it. But he's already explained it in chapter 4. That's the point I'm wanting you to see. So then it comes forth as a scene. Something that's actually happening. And it's a preparing for these things to happen. All right? Now, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then the entire book is that revelation. And Revelation 5 then is showing one picture. A scene that covers all that took place in chapter 4. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? So then I could have brought it out and said, well, here, because remember it says a picture. A scene is like a picture. Well, see, you could have drawn out the throne, one sitting on the throne, and a book in his hand. And you just stuck it up here and said, there's a scene. But how did you know that took place? Everything you read is a foundation. Everything you study is a foundation. That's why it's so vital to study. If we don't get a foundation, what are we going to do? Somebody just come out and preach a message and just run across it. Oh, you can get up in the spirit and rejoice with them, etc. But then when it's finished, you say, well, what did they say? I don't know, but it's a good message. Yeah. But if you've had a foundation, then the preacher's not going to lose you, right? See, we've had years to lay a foundation to get ready for the things that God wants to do. All right? Now, see, then you can't see Revelations 5 unless you understand Revelations 4 as being an explanation of what has taken place upon this earth. Where did the 24 elders come from? Here upon the earth. Where's the one on the throne? He's on the throne of your heart now by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, so then you see in chapter 5 a scene of a throne and one sitting on the throne and a book in his hand. Now, there's no way to understand chapter 6 until we get chapter 5 right then. Are you following me? All right. In other words, what was made known of the true revelation of Jesus Christ in the opening of the Word was the preparing of the prophet to be able to speak when it come to chapter 6 of the opening of the seals. Right? See, a lot of people say, well, Brother Branham was wrong before the seals broke. He was all messed up. Show it to me. You have one thing that you can deal with, and that's the white horse rider. Or you might make evidences of this and evidences, but remember, he's growing in grace and knowledge too. All right? But you can deal with the white horse rider, but just remember, no light had ever shined on that, so it's not responsible. Even Jesus said, if I hadn't have come and spoke to you, you would have had a covering for your sins, right? But said, I spoke to you, now you have no covering, therefore your sins remain. In other words, he brought them out in the open. He exposed them. All right? See, then if the prophet wasn't right, how could have God opened the Word? How can a Trinitarian concept understand any of the Bible any of it whatsoever? How can you do it with a concept of a Trinitarianism? Because it's contrary to the Bible. And that's the Antichrist devil's teaching. So are you saying that the devil has more understanding about God than God can bring? Not quite now, folks. See, then a Trinitarian concept can never see a true revelation of one God. It don't matter any scripture talking about one God. And truly, when you come to the opening of the seals, how would a Trinitarian understand? Because the first seal says what? A white horse rider rides out. Well, see, in a Trinitarian concept, you can just have one going this way and one going that way and one going that way, just all kind of things. And you know, that was the Holy Ghost with the little arrows of Cupid shooting, you know, the hearts of the people. And we think, well, now that's silly. But you know, that's what some people believed. Or Brother Branham wouldn't have referred to it. He had run into that doctrine. He might have believed some of it himself when he first started. You know, we think he knowed everything. But he said, I used to think, it's in one of these quotes here that we'll get to in a second. He said, I used to think that Jesus loved me and God hated me. He said, well, I found out it was the same person. Then he began to understand he couldn't be that way. But now listen, see, I just read through Sunday to get it laid down for a long, you know, good many messages. But here's my point. If Brother Branham was wrong, you know, before the seals broke, when he come up to that place, then there's no way that God could have come to him and give it to him. He was standing there with the faith of the fathers, revealed word of God, and then God could open the word to him. All right? But now, how can you and I do it? Remember, the word seen has to do with a personal experience. That's where the trouble with people is. See, we take our own concept, and most of that is a holdover from the old religious ideas, and then we try to understand God's Word. And how can that be done? You see why that we need the background? You see why we've needed 40-something years since the prophets left? We've needed it to get a background, a preparing. Huh? Now, what if you went somewhere? Now, give an illustration, pack, you know, preparing backgrounds, etc. Here we go. You go somewhere, and you was a Trinitarian, you was, you know, the old days, and you walk into a church, and somebody preaches one God, and you say, "Amen, that's right. That's what I believe. Believe one God." Especially if you're a Baptist. Because that's their doctrine. One God. Then you'd say, "Well, now how do you explain that to me?" Well, what it is now, it's God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. Right. Now your background has been what? Come on. Your background has been God in three persons. It's not been a revelation of one God, or you wouldn't have made that statement. It's like I told you. That's what I told Brother Moat when he asked me. I said, "One true and living God." He said, "Explain it." I said, "God in three persons." Well, see, when he said, "You're as much Trinitarian as anybody else. Person's a personality. Personality's an individual. Individual's a person." Well, it didn't take me no 6 months to figure that out. I looked at him and said, "I don't believe that no more." Now, if you'd ask me, say, "What do you believe?" I'd say, "Well, I don't really know exactly yet, but I know I don't believe that." Because I believe in progressive revelation. But I believe every day we must get a background. That's why it says in the Bible, "Give me this day my daily bread." Now, you don't take a baby, Joe and Rachel, he called and said they'd be viewing in tonight, and all because of the little baby, you know, and taking care of it, and all. But, you know, you don't take that baby, and it's laying there, you know, and just born, and you hand it a piece of chicken. Boy, we're feeding that baby. We want him to grow up right. You know what I said the other day? You got all these people that write books about raising kids, and all bachelors are old maids. You know, it ain't somebody that's raised kids that writes a book. But see, they pervert people's mind by telling you, "You ought not do this, you ought not do that." Why? We got raised. Yeah. And when they raised us by sticking the finger in the gravy and putting it in your mouth, not too long after we was born, and we lived. You know? But you see, all of it now is on, you know, "Don't do this, don't do that," trying to tell you how to do things. Well, now, about 6 months from now, or a year from later, they'll rewrite the book, right? And then they'll tell you not to give them what you give them here. Well, they might as well forget it. But you understand what I'm trying to say now, church. If we don't have a background, an understanding, a preparation, then somebody preaches one God to us, we don't know whether it's right or not. Right? I've heard preachers preach a sermon, you know, people would come out and say, "Wasn't that the greatest sermon you ever heard?" And you just got to bite your tongue and walk away. Because it was all false. See? But to them, it was the greatest thing that had ever been heard. Well, they preached one God. He said three times he believed in one God. So does a Baptist. You want to go right over there? So it was the Baptists. They believed in one God. But you see, your background is where the thing is at. If you and I don't have a background by now, we're in bad shape. See, because we're subject to all kind of errors and doctrines without your background. First off, you got to have the new birth, right? All right. That's what it's talking about in Revelation 4 and comes up to show in Revelation 5. That new birth in your heart's got to be there. But then a background, an understanding. And God speaking personally to you, because no matter how much background you got, if God don't speak to you, we're still messed up. It don't matter how much we can say that was truth, and it could be true. But what do we get out of it? You know, what do we get out of the message? Do you get what I'm trying to say, or are you getting the words I'm saying? Because I'm trying my best to explain one true and living God. You'll see what I'm talking about, because that's been the whole basis of chapter 4. Was to preach about one God and where he was at, and the 24 elders and the rainbow and the jasper and the sardine stone and all, of preaching about God. Now we come to see all of that as a background. And God's going to show us something. All right? But he's not going to show us what we think. See, why didn't God go from Revelation chapter 4 in verse 1 right on over to Revelation chapter 6 in verse 1 and start with the seals? Now, why didn't he do that? Because he knew we wouldn't understand. He knew we couldn't comprehend. He knew the prophet couldn't even comprehend. So we had to give him the background of all of the years that he preached. It was a background. To me, that was what the Lord showed me. See, when that white horse rider went riding off, all the Holy Ghost had to say to the prophet was, "What have you been taught all your life?" He said, "One person, one true and living God." Isn't it correct? One person. He said, "Well, then here you stand with the Holy Ghost, and there goes the white horse rider. That's leaving you. So what do you got?" See, if that had been the Holy Ghost, you better go ride with it. But see, he could tie it back into his message and get him to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that's the entire Bible. Pull those up, brothers, and let's just get those as we got it. Well, number 3, number 4. Let's just bring these up. This is in the first seal, 1963:318. As we study this chapter, we're referring different places, even to Old and New Testament alike, because the entire book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The entire book. That's all together the revelation of the Lord Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ is God revealing himself in the book, revealing himself through Christ in the book, and Christ is the revelation of God. He came to reveal God, because he and God was the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. All right. Now, so what did it turn out to be? In other words, you'd never know just what God was until he revealed himself through Christ. Then you can see. I used to think years ago that maybe God was angry with me, but Christ loved me. Now, this is a prophet talking. Come to find out, it's the same person, see? And Christ is the very heart of God. All right, look at the next one. Just getting the point where you're at. This is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1963-606. That's kind of been a theme with me in the campaigns, that I would use that because I believe the entire book is a revelation of Jesus Christ, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the entire book that we'll get to Sunday, the book that is in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. Do we want to just read it and just jump out? The book in His hand, one on the throne, one come, took the book out of His hand. Where did all that come from? Where did the Lamb come from? And will your revelation put you in a position to understand the opening of the Word? I know I'm slow. I want to be slow. What about it? What if the world was dependent upon you? You give me scripture. Okay. They without us cannot be made perfect. That solve it? Hebrews 11:40, I guess it is. So the world's waiting on you. Well, now, I don't know where it went. Well, then you're not part of it. Is that sensible? If the world's not waiting on you, you're not part of it. But if you're part of it, then it's waiting on you. The bride is part of the mystery. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And she must be revealed. All right? Now, I've told you, though this is an every service, I make this statement. Then in the book of Revelations, you don't find Jesus Christ by Himself. You find Him in the people, or revealing Himself in the people. Right? Chapter 1, one standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the pouch with the golden girdle. Then we go through the church ages, and He was revealing Himself in the church ages. Then we went through chapter 4 of a rapture and showed how that if it hadn't been the revelation of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have been going in a rapture. There won't be a rapture without a revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, your revelation, what is your revelation? Why do you believe what you believe? You know that most people would say, I don't really know. But what if you was asked? What if there was a large group of people dependent upon your revelation? You'd be more serious, wouldn't you? What if it is that the bride of Christ down through all the ages is now 2,000 years have died and went into the ground and waiting on you? Well, I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. Brother Brown said a true eagle will understand if he's a true eagle. See, what if the world's waiting on you and I? According to the prophet and according to the Bible, that's what it is. What is it, church? Preparing. The years of preparation that prophet went through. He preached 30-something years before he could preach, and this is his words, before he could preach the stature of a perfect man. Get the book, read it, it's in the message. 30-something years before he could preach it. Yet I can show you back in the 50s, that was 62. I think that's right, somewhere right in there. And I can show you in the 50s where he was preaching on those things. But he didn't see it tied together, see. Because he said, I didn't see this tied together till the other day out in the woods out hunting. You see, we think Brother Branham come here with everything. Now, he says he didn't. He said, I don't know what that first seal is. Then when he opened, the first seal was open, he said, I don't know what the second one is, the third one. That's his words. What are you doing with his words? Because of our thoughts and our ideas of our mind, what are we doing? But what if it is? That's the only thing that's on my mind tonight, is one thing. You don't get nothing out of the message tonight, get one thing. Will your revelation bring God on the scene? Well, I don't have to do that. He just come because he said he's coming. Well, that's the good Baptist thought, and that's what they say. But what about it? But do you read and do you study the prophet's message? Do you listen to the tapes and you preparing? Right? Or have you got some concept of something that you've done or didn't do has made you to where that you're in the message? I said did or didn't do. Either way. See, what about your revelation, Brother Collie? What if this whole church is dependent upon what you believe? You know? Are you willing to take that responsibility? See, when I get up here preaching, that's what I have to do. You can sit there and do all you want to, but I can't. See, because I realize that if I don't preach it correctly, we won't make it. Now, you say, well, what do you mean I won't make it? I'll go somewhere else. Well, go on then. That's the best way to say it. That way it don't keep no bones picking with nobody. Don't stay here because of me. Because your soul is involved. Now, if you want your soul lost and you think I'm lost, then you're going to be lost. That's just plain language. I don't mind talking. But what if everybody's waiting on you? Now, you know the world was waiting on Brother Branham to come. That's what it means in Malachi 4, you know, and all those scriptures. Now, had he not come, where would we be? And you and I are totally dependent upon whether or not he was the prophet of God. Now, the way it's going now in the people of the message, you know for certainty it's not that way, because there are just some going back to organized religion and some going back to all these other things. And some just leaving the church and just going home. And but what if it's dependent upon you and I? Do we have enough preparation? If you was taken in court today to be tried about this message, now, they don't care about you saying that Brother Branham was a prophet. You know. But then they ask you, well, so what did he teach? See, whether you like it or not, we're dependent upon this message. And whether you like it or not, you're dependent upon the fivefold ministry to break it down to you. And if you don't like that, then I'd suggest you go home and listen to tape. Because there's no need of you wearing yourself out in cars too coming to church if you're not dependent upon what's being brought. You shouldn't talk that way. Why not? Why not? Do you know that I believe, and I've always talked to you this, that no man is to have Brother Branham's ministry by himself anymore. Brother Branham had the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? To the resurrection, to all things. No one person is to have that again. But the prophet said the bride would have the ministry of Jesus Christ. All right? So around the world, is the bride of Jesus Christ. Ain't just Lula, Georgia. No. Bride of Christ around the world. And you know what that means? That you and I are going to have a portion of the word. Right? And they're going to have a portion here and a portion there and a portion here and overseas has got a portion. These places got a portion. But when it's all put together, it'll be the Word of God. Right? But what if we don't have our portion right? Very serious. You say, I'm just a housewife. What have I got to do with it? Well, Eve in the garden, you know, I believe that she could have spoke the word. No, it's only Adam. Well, all right. And she had God living in her too. See, you sisters got your part. We just know it's not in the pulpit, right? But you got your part raising a family and helping one another. Right? That's your part. Well, you know, if you don't supply your part, then you know that we're missing that part. Right? We was listening to a tape the other day, and Brother Branham, they asked him a question. He said, should women, Brother Branham, have a ministry like, you know, not a ministry like preaching, should women have an outside work to where that they could work and do things? He said, yes, sir. I remember an old Baptist lady in our church. She said, if I could talk to somebody about the Lord, I'd never make my bed of a morning. You know, she meant it. She meant it. She was serious. What about you and me? He said, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that without the opening of the word of Revelations 1, I went through that and over it and over it and over it. You'd never be able to understand what happened in the church ages and the thing. And you'd never understand the rapture and why it took place. But then we went into chapter 4 and we've spent 15 or something sermons talking about the requirements. The thing God was expecting of you and I wasn't preaching about what was in heaven. I kept telling you that. Everybody wants to go to heaven with their mind so fast. Well, you know, you can become so heavenly minded to you're no earthly good. And I mean that in the true realm of this way. You can become so heavenly minded until you can't even get a revelation. But yet you're so revelated, you think you got all of it. But what about it? You remember a little boy that one day asked his mother, he said, Mother, can you see God? She said, you'll have to ask your Sunday school teacher. The little boy asked the Sunday school teacher, he said, can you see God? Well, you better go to the pastor. Well, they got to the pastor and he said, can you see God? And the pastor said, no, you can't see God. Well, you remember what happened. He went fishing with the old gentleman, you know. The old gentleman was crying because he saw the rainbow and all like that in the clouds. And he realized that there was something about the man. He said, can you see God? He said, all that I've ever seen in my life is God. Now listen, folks. What if your kids comes and ask you, can you see God? I like what I won't call the name, but a certain person one time claimed to be highly religious, and his wife told him, said, if that's what you call religion, I don't want it. Where has our lives led people to Christ? Well, we got this great revelation, but where's our lives led people to Christ? Can they say about you that that's a good Christian? They might say, well, we don't agree with them in doctrine, but they're good people. At least that's the way it should be. You know? What about it? What would be coming? Now, this is a whole of what I'm trying to bring out tonight. What would be the next step of what you're thinking? Whatever you're thinking, you know, what's going to be the thing to bring the rapture, the change, you know, the moment twinkle of an eye? What do you think? What do you think is going to bring it? See, in the message, every time a young man comes along with a pretty good delivery and this, that, and the other, the people just flock to it, right? Even in the message, people. They just flock to that because they think that's a deliverer. Right? What if this whole thing is dependent upon you? In your part. What do you think is going to bring? You don't never think like this. You don't ever ask God, God, what's wrong? You know. Why are we around here? Why are we here 40-something years after the prophet's gone? You don't ever ask him about that? You're not concerned about it? What if it's because of you? Remember, your prophet said one unconfessed sin in any member in the church would cause the church to bitterly fail. Said you'd answer at judgment. Is that right? Do we believe that? But what if the world's waiting on you? Now, Brother Dale, we know so much word at Lula till everybody else is, they need to get where we're at. You ain't never heard me say that. I believe God has been abundance to us in Revelation. I do. I agree. All right. But I've never said that the world's totally waiting on Lula. But I say it's waiting on the bride of Christ around the world to realize who she is. And only when she realizes who she is will she be gone. Now we're going to get into something on the seals one of these days. That I tried to preach 30 years ago. Couldn't get people to see it. How many of you remembers me making this statement on the seal that some of you heard of? I said, when that seventh seal is opened to an individual, they're sealed in. Satan's sealed out. I was talking about something then. I never preached nothing in those seals in 82 there, in 83, but Jesus Christ. and where he was at. Because chapter 5, if we can't see ourselves in chapter 5, verse 1, the first part of verse 1, the throne, one sitting on the throne, if we can't see ourselves there, then there's no need of going to chapter 6 and the seals and the breaking. Because you see, write this one down. This bride has got to give birth to the Lamb. I tried to say that in 82 and 83 and it didn't go across. She's got to give birth to the Lamb. Now, folks, it ain't what Brother So-and-so preached and his people said that he was standing between them and God, you know, and it was his revelation. Now, I didn't believe it then. I don't believe it now. It's not totally dependent upon me. It's totally dependent upon the bride of Jesus Christ around the world. I just want to be my part. But the world's waiting on you and I. What kind of book is that? Oh, we can describe. It's a scroll, Brother Dale. And I've been through that and explained it because it was necessary. But what kind of a book is it? I wondered how many of you noticed what I done in chapter 4. I talked about the throne and the things and your experience. But I didn't deal very much with us sitting in that throne with him. I dealt with it just a little. Because that was preparation. Now as we enter the fifth chapter, if we don't see ourselves on the throne, sitting on that throne with him, then you're still a Trinitarian. And you totally miss what I was saying about when the eagles come, or the appearing of the eagles, plural. They were the little eaglets. And you know that Brother Brown said, God is not complete without you. It's laying on my desk. We'll get down to that. He's not complete without you. Remember, a scene is what? What did we cover a scene was? An incident or situation in real life. Brother Run said he will become so visible among us that he'll raise the dead. We'll go in the rapture. Where does he come from to become visible to us? I've told you what I say about the tent and the return ministries and the things like that. It's not because of anybody believing it. The only thing is I ask is the same question I asked at the beginning. I told the people in the beginning, I said, if Brother Brown come back and put up a tent right here in front of this church, you wouldn't know what he's talking about. Because you don't know what he's talking about. I would say, you know, Brother Brown said so-and-so, and they'd say, where's that at? And I got to where I was carrying books with me. Why? Because they didn't know that's what he said. And the first message I preached in 1969 was that the bride of Jesus Christ must be the Son of Man, the Word made flesh. You think I don't believe that still today? But what about it? All the years of preparation for Brother Branham to where that God could speak to him and tell him about that white horse rider. If it took him 30-something years to preach the stature of a perfect man, it took him 30-something years to come to the place that he could preach the seals, right? Oh, he tried to preach them, right? Come on, he did. He tried to preach the seals back there in his early ministry. And he had those notes off of it, and that's what he was going to preach. That's opening of the seals, you know, to come to Jeffersonville. That's what he was going to preach. That's what he said. He's going back to his old notes. Why? Because he didn't know anything different. But then God met him. But this is what I wrote down. Do you see my point? Will your revelation prepare him a throne for him to sit on? Will your revelation prepare a throne? What about it? You say, I'm not responsible. Where'd you get that idea? You never got it from here, and you never got it from Brother Branham, and you never got it out of the Bible. Where'd you get that idea? I'm just as blunt as I can be. You had to get it from the devil, because you certainly didn't get it from God. Because it ain't in God's Word. God's Word tells us we're all responsible. The prophet said we're all responsible, and we'll give an account of responsibility. Right? What if the world's waiting on you and I? We think that we're waiting on them to get to a place. No, that ain't what I think. All I want to be is my part of what God has revealed to me, to what I'm supposed to be. What about you? What about your part? You know, we do have an old saying that's called clean around your own house door. You know, maybe those on the internet, some of them might hear that and wonder what's going on. It simply means that unless our life is straight and right, we ain't got no right to be running around judging nothing else. What if the world is waiting on you? You know, we're all getting fast old, you know. And that don't mean anything, because time don't have anything to do with it. We could leave it tonight. Right? No matter how young we are. But don't you realize what I'm trying to say? Revelation chapter 4 was a foundation of preparation to be able just to understand the first verse of chapter 5. Because it's a total repeat of verse 2 of chapter 4. You saw a throne and one sitting on the throne. But then you see the book in his hand. Now, what kind of a book is that? Well, I've heard preachers preach, and I agree with you to a degree. It says it's the Bible. I'll agree to that part. I've heard it preached that it was a list of names. and all our names was there. I'll agree with that to a part. But I thought it was a revelation of Jesus Christ and where he was at and what he was doing. You remember that quotation the other night? It's not, Brother Brown said, it's not just the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, but it's where he's at and what he's doing. Because he's not here physically. But he's here in the bride of Christ. Now you remember the life statements we were making on chapter 4? And then we started in on Sunday afternoon and gave those quotes where the prophet of God said that he'll take the book, climb up on the throne, and sit down. Have we provided him a throne to be able to sit on? Have we provided a book that can be in his hand? What about it? Simple questions. If this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's what your prophet said it was, then what is your revelation? You know, somebody might ask you one of these days, what's your revelation? I remember right here years ago, somebody, a brother asked Brother Dix, and he said, you believe that? He said, explain it to me. He put him on the spot. And he said, you don't have to give me quotes to explain it. He said, just put it in your own language. Right? What about it? Because all we got is quotes. Brother Brown said this, Brother Brown said that. Or is it a revelation? If it's a revelation, we can depend upon God providing or preparing a place. So that's what the Bible says, right? I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Right? It's in our hearts and lives right here on earth. He said, well, you're preaching that it's up in heaven. No. I don't know where you got that idea. Because we ain't went in the rapture yet. I kept emphasizing that. We ain't left the world yet. So evidently it must not be matching what's here of what's there. When it matches, we'll go. Or we'll go by the grave before then. Come on, brothers. What if the world is waiting on you? Would your revelation produce a throne for him to sit on? Would your revelation bring into manifestation a throne that God could sit on? Would he be pleased to dwell? Right? What about it? Of preparing for the opening of the seven seals. So then if we don't get the preparation, remember when we had the first quote? Brother Brown said we got to get the preparation right. We don't get the preparation right. And if I was you, I would go read the breach. You know, I would read it. And just see what the breach says about what's being prepared. Because you might find out it's something personal to you. We want to blame everybody else, right? No. Can't be done. What do we got? Let's stand.
136 in the Spiral Book. Old Time Power. Amen. They were in the upper chamber. They were all with one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Now, Lord's in the power just now.
Lord's
in the power just now. And
what about it?
Everyone.
Are you getting your part ready?
Yes, there's power from heaven.
This is not a group therapy.
The sound of rushing wind.
This is a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to every individual in a church.
He would send. Oh, Lord's in the power just now. Oh, Lord's in the power just now. Oh, Lord's in the power just now.
It's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to you.
They were in the upper chamber. They were.
Then when we all get right, then the throne will be there.
When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Oh, Lord's in the power just now.
Anybody have a need?
Oh, Lord's in the power just now.
Oh, Lord's in the power just now.
And baptize everyone.
See, if you lack revelation, what the prophets say do? Said to pray. Let's just believe it. You keep saving it. Keep praying. Because it's dependent on you. So you just keep praying. You keep believing it. It's totally dependent upon you. I can pray with you about it. But it's your family. So now you pray for my family. All right? I'll pray for your family. All right? It's totally dependent upon you to pray for your family. Right? Our sister wants us to pray about her family being saved. It's left up to her. I can pray with her about her family. She can pray with me about my family. But it's a personal point.
Oh, Lord's in the power just now. Lord's in the power just now.
Personal point to pray and believe for your own family because you know your family in the ways. To believe it. Sure, we pray with one another to help one another.
Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. This old time power was given to our fathers who were true. This is promised.
Is it now for us or was it for them only? Was it for them only or for us? Oh, Lord, send the fire just now. Baptize everyone. It's not just for everybody else, it's for you and I. You go home with nothing else of the message tonight. You remember, the world's waiting on you. Dependent upon you. God's waiting on you and I to move on the scene in the right order. No, I'm waiting on him to move. He can't move until we do. He's waiting on us to move. Pray. And pray with power, like Terrence said. You know what, all this drought and everything else? Somebody touched him because Sunday it started raining. But it wasn't supposed to be any. Well, you know what? It might have been one of the little kids.
Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died.
God is waiting on you and I.
And I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides in me.
He abides.
He abides.
Hallelujah.
He abides in me.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way. For the Comforter abides in me.
He is with me
everywhere, and he knows my every care.
I'm as happy as a bird and just as free. Jesus' Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. And Comforter abides in me. He abides. He abides. How about it?
Hallelujah, He abides.
He's waiting on you and I.
I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way.
What are we waiting on? You know, if you want to see a revival, get a revival in your heart. Because if you don't have it in your heart, you'll never see it in nobody else. Remember the lady that was cleaning the church and just rubbing the pews? Lord, bless these people. Started a revival. God's waiting on you and I.
Hallelujah, He abides. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way for the Comforter abiding in me.
What about
way my sin?
Anybody have a need while we sing this?
Jesus, what can make me whole again?
At the revelation of Jesus Christ. Personally to you. Not because Brother Branham had it. Thank God that he had it. But we've got to have it.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus for my cleansing this I see.
Think about it. Read that chapter 5, the breach of chapter 5 is what he's doing. Do you have a kinsman redeemer?
That makes me white as snow.
My hope and peace. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's shake hands with one another as you're dismissed. Remember the services this weekend. Remember the Bible study. Remember to pray for Wade as he'll be going to preach for Brother Collins. Just pray one for another, right? Father, bless everybody and be with everybody on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. We love you and we thank you. Father, in Jesus' name.
Nothing but the blood. Jesus, now by this I'll overcome. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now by this I'll reach my home. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, thus I sing. Nothing but blood of Jesus. All my praise for this I bring. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.